Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 26. This is the word of the Lord. And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." He said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able in the presence of the people to catch him in what he said. But marveling at his answer, they became silent. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus is the beloved Son of God. He is the stone that the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders and the people that followed them, they stumbled over this stone, and they will be crushed by it. They stumbled over Christ, and they will be broken by him. They thought to take the vineyard of the Lord for themselves. They thought to use it for their own purposes. And however noble those purposes might have sounded, their wickedness is revealed. and their rejection of God's Son. And so whatever their purpose was for the kingdom of God, it was contrary to God's purpose. They sought to seize the kingdom from God's Son, by conspiring to put him to death and to take his inheritance for themselves. The truth of Jesus' words in the parable of the vineyard is proved true in verse 19. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. They proved his words true. They sought to put him to death that they might take from him what belonged to him, that they might take it for themselves. For they loved their own authority. They loved their own position more than they loved God. And so they found in Jesus not a Savior to be followed, but a threat to be destroyed. And he is a threat. For to follow him means to lay down your life. To follow him means to give up control over your life. To follow him requires that you make it your aim to please him and not yourself. To order your life according to his will and not your own. To follow Christ is not without cost, but what is gained is worth so much more than what is lost. Jesus is the Son of God. To him belongs the kingdom of God. As God's Son, he is God's heir, the heir of his kingdom. But the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, they were not willing to submit to him and sought instead to take his rule from him. And though Jesus warns them that their effort will be in vain, that they themselves will be destroyed and the kingdom given to others, they persist in conspiring against him. Truly, what is written in Psalm 2 concerns them. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain against the Lord and against his anointed? Their effort was in vain, and their end is destruction. Jesus warns them of what will happen to them. but they persist in seeking to lay hands on him, in raising their hands against him. And so in our passage, they send spies to him who pretended to be sincere in order that they might catch him in his words, in order that they might find cause to accuse him before Caesar, in order to deliver him to the authority of the governor, which was the authority of Caesar, the emperor of the world. And the question that they ask him, it is closely related to the parable of the vineyard, that parable which Jesus had spoken against them. For if Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is the Christ, then his kingdom is the kingdom of God, and his rule is over all nations. For what does God say of his Son, his King, whom he sets on Zion? We read of it also in Psalm 2. I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. In Psalm 2, the rule of Christ is over all the nations. The rule of Christ extends to the ends of the earth. The rule of Christ is over all kingdoms, including the kingdom of Caesar. The kingdom of Christ is over the kingdom of Caesar. For Jesus to be the Son of God is for Jesus to be the King of Caesar. This was a claim that Caesar would have punished with death. So the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, they seek the power of Caesar against Jesus. And so they ask him a question directly related to the authority of Caesar. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now, a tribute was a tax, but it was more than a tax. Certainly, we may infer from Jesus' answer that we ought to pay whatever taxes are imposed on us by whatever government is over us. Paul says this very thing in Romans chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. But while tribute to Caesar was a tax, similar to our own taxes, there was an important difference. The tribute owed to Caesar was owed to him by the people of Israel because Caesar had conquered the land of Israel. That kingdom was in subjection to him. It was under his rule. It was under his authority. This tribute was more than a tax. It was a sign of subjection, a sign of servitude. In Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1, after the destruction of Jerusalem by the kingdom of Babylon, we read, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow has she become, she who was great among the nations, she who was a princess among the provinces, has become a slave." In the Greek translation of Lamentations, the Greek word translated here as tribute in Luke chapter 20 is used there for the word translated a slave. The tribute was not merely a tax. It was a sign of subjection. It was a sign of slavery. The tribute to Caesar was an acknowledgement of the rule of Caesar over the kingdom of Israel. Someone with authority over Caesar would not pay tribute to Caesar. And so the trap is laid. If Christ is the King of Kings, if all the nations are his heritage, if the ends of the earth are his possession, then should not tribute be given to him and not to Caesar? But Jesus knows that they ask this question not in sincerity. He knows that they are seeking to ensnare him in his words, that they might bring a charge against him before the authority of Caesar, that they might wield the power of Caesar against him. But in verse 23, we read that Jesus perceived their craftiness. His wisdom is greater than their craftiness. His wisdom overcomes their craftiness. He says to them, "Show me a denarius." The currency of that time. A coin used to pay a day's wage. A coin used for buying. A coin used for selling. A coin used for paying tribute. Show me a denarius. And he asks them, whose likeness and inscription does it have? And the answer, Caesar's. And so he says to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. The denarius, imprinted with the likeness of Caesar, it belonged to Caesar. To give it to Caesar was to give to him what belonged to him. Jesus was not a revolutionary. He was not an insurrectionist. He did not come to take up arms. He did not come to overthrow the kingdom of Caesar. He did not come to have his followers to take up arms. He did not come to have his followers overthrow the kingdom of Caesar. He did not come as an exalted king. He came as a lowly servant. For he did not come to rule the kingdoms of the earth, but to save his people from their sin. This is why the people rejected him. Because he was not a revolutionary. Whom did they choose instead of him? Barabbas, who was a revolutionary. They rejected him because they could not bend Jesus to their purposes. Because they refused to bend to his purpose. You cannot bend Jesus to your purposes. And if you refuse to bend to his purpose, you will be broken. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. The denarius with which you pay your tribute to Caesar, it came from Caesar. Render to him what belongs to him. But that is not all that Jesus says. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. If the denarius belongs to Caesar because it is made with his likeness, then what are the things that belong to God? That which is made in his likeness. And what is made in the likeness of God? Man himself. Man was created and the image of God. Man was formed after the likeness of God. What is Jesus saying? Render your denarius to Caesar and render yourselves to God. They marveled at his answer. They were silenced by his answer. But they did not take heed of his answer. For to render themselves to God would have required that they submit themselves to Jesus, that they bend their knees to his purpose. To Jesus, the Son of God, the exact imprint of God's nature. But what did they do instead? They gave him up to Caesar. Luke chapter 23, verse 2. Then the whole company of them arose, that is, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. The whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." They mix the truth with falsehood. And in the end, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, he is put to death by the authority and power of Caesar. But this was the purpose of God. This was the purpose of Christ. And what seemed to be his defeat was in truth his victory. For Christ, delivered over to death, he has been raised from the dead. And he has been highly exalted above all powers and authorities in heaven and on earth. And long ago, Caesar died, but Christ still lives. And long ago, the kingdom of Caesar passed away, but the kingdom of Christ remains. And after all the kingdoms of this earth have passed away, his will still remain. And after all the rulers of this earth have died, he will still live, for his kingdom is without end. Death no longer has dominion over him. Do not be troubled about the kingdoms of this world. Do not worry about their authority and their power. For truly God has entrusted to them the things of this world. And they are his servants. Do not worry if they take the things of this world from you. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and render to God what is God's. Render yourselves to him. Render yourselves to Christ. For a day is coming when every knee will bow before him, and every tongue will confess. The tongue of Caesar will confess. The tongue of every ruler will confess that Christ is King. Bow before him. Or you will be broken by him. Render yourselves to Christ, and he will give you a kingdom that cannot be shaken. A kingdom that cannot be taken. A kingdom that can only be given. A kingdom not of this world. Through many tribulations, Christ entered his kingdom. Through many tribulations, you must enter his kingdom. May you wait for it with patience. Amen. Let us pray.